Jeffrey Carter.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope?
Second Chances. I'm your host, Hilaria Asumu, and today we are going into a topic that I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing, how recipients become advocates. 6 weeks ago, we started this conversation. We talked about transplant recovery, about faith, about family tables, about waiting lists, about the cost of the wait. And last Sunday, we heard two living donors tell you, in their own words, what it felt like to say yes. Tonight, the conversation shifts, because here is something I have noticed over this past 6 weeks of this series and of being on air with you. People who have been through this, transplant recipients, living donors, families who said yes in their darkest moments, they do not stay quiet. They cannot. Sometimes when you've been through something that big, that large, something that changes how you see your own life and your responsibility to the people around you, you start talking, you become an advocate without necessarily deciding to. You find yourself at the family table, at the church hall, at the school gate, saying things this show has been saying for 6 weeks. Not because someone asked you to, but because you cannot imagine not doing so. Tonight, we're talking about that and also about what happens when recipients and donors turn around and bring someone else into the conversation. We're going to be talking about how a community changes when the people who have been through something decide to pass it forward. So this episode of Second Chances, we are live on Radio Africana and in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. Stay with me. So in our first segment, we're going to be talking about what happens when you come through. I want to tell you about a moment. It was about 6 months after my transplant. I was doing well. The kidney was functioning. The fog of years of dialysis was lifting. I was beginning to feel, for the first time in a very long time, like myself. And I was at this community event and someone came up to me and asked how I was doing. And I told them, honestly, not the polite version, the real version. I told them about the transplant, about what the weight had cost, about what the yes had given back. And I watched something happen in their face. It wasn't sympathy. It wasn't pity. It was something else. A kind of recognition. A sort of reckoning. And they said, I did not know it worked like that. And I always thought, you know, when you get a transplant, everything is okay. You are fine. And then they told me what they had always thought. One of the myths, you know, one of the fears, you know, that floats around on the internet. Those pieces of wrong information that's been sitting unchallenged in their minds for years. And, you know, and in that moment, I realized that I was not just a recipient. I was a correction. Okay. I had to correct their thinking. I was the evidence that disrupted that myth. Not because I'd set out to be, but because I was standing right there. I was still here and willing to say so. That is what passing it forward looks like in its most basic form. Not a campaign, or a leaflet, not even a radio show, this radio show. It's a conversation at a community event between two people. And we know how powerful it is when you have a face-to-face conversation with people, where one person tells the other the truth about what they went through. But it grows from there. Because when you start having that conversation, when you find the courage to say, this is what happened to me, and this is what it means, something changes in you. You discover your story has a function beyond your own healing. That it can move people and shift things around. That thing you survived is also the thing that can save somebody else. And that is a gift inside the gift. The transplant gave me my life back, but the advocacy gave that life a direction. That is why you see me, I'm very passionate about talking about organ donation, talking to patients. And if you've met me, anytime, you know, at events or, you know, and you don't really know me, we start talking and within 5 minutes, I'm telling you my story. Because I want to pass on that information. I want to pass on that knowledge because it is my story. I know what I went through. And if we do not correct it, if we don't actually correct people about the way they think, we are never going to move past where we are. Yesterday, I was at the Igbo community group. They had a meeting in a Chalk Gallery. And I was there to talk to them about leadership. And, you know, I want to give them a shout out for giving me a space to actually talk to them about leadership and talk about my story as well. And I know I touched a few people there. That is how we pass the message on to other people. When you've been given a gift, don't sit in your room. I know it's difficult for a lot of people to actually do what I am doing, but trust me, the gift that I have been given has actually given me that strength, that power, that confidence to talk to people about my life now, and what I am doing is what I was saved to do. And I'm ever grateful to my donor family. Tonight, I want to talk about how that conversation happens. How ordinary people, not professionals or campaign workers or people with microphones, become the most powerful force in closing the organ donation gap in Black communities. We know that currently we have about 7,000 people on the transplant list waiting for a transplant. And, you know, not just a transplant, they're waiting for a kidney transplant. That's too many people, and one in three die every day. So people, you're listening to me this evening, please start thinking about how you can help those people by signing up to the organ donor register. And that powerful force in closing that gap in Black organizations, in Black communities, actually changes conversations when we put ourselves forward, when we put our finger out. Because it is people telling the truth to other people that make that difference. Telling people about their experience, one conversation at a time. Fela Kuti spent his entire life passing something forward. And I know a lot of people are like, ooh, she's going to play Fela's music. Yes, I am. It's not just music. He didn't pass just music. It was a way of seeing, a refusal to let the community stay asleep about what mattered. Water No Get Enemy is a song about what we cannot live without. A kidney is water. Literally. It processes it, and without it, nothing works. This is Water No Get Enemy by Fela Kuti, and I hope you enjoy it. And please listen to the lyrics, the short few minutes we've got on with the song. Listen to it and let it minister to you. Don't go away. Here it is.
Tomi bapo more, omi no lo ma lo.
I hope you enjoyed that. I was vibing to that in the studio. So if you're sitting in your living room right now listening to this, on your couch with your family or alone, I hope you have a glass of wine. Unfortunately, I can't have a glass of wine, but I hope you're enjoying it on my behalf. So that was Fela Kuti with Water No Get Enemy. Water No Get Enemy, and neither does a kidney, and neither does the truth. Now, I want to talk about the three ways I have seen ordinary people become extraordinary advocates. Not heroes, ordinary people who decided to open their mouth. The first way to become extraordinary is to tell your story once. Just once, to one person. You don't have to make a speech or a presentation. One honest conversation where you say, this is what happened to me. This is what I know now that I did not know before. And this is why I think it matters to you. You do not need to have all the answers. You do not need the statistics either. And you don't need last Sunday's episode memorized. This is about you. It's your story, and your story is already inside you. The moment you tell it to one person, you have passed something forward. Something that may travel further than you can see. The second way is that you share the conversation into your community. Now, this show, this Black Organ, you know, donation, the Black Organ Donation website, the Kinect app, which I've been talking about for a few weeks now, these are not just resources for people who have already, who are already convinced. They are tools that you can put into the hands of people who are not yet sure. Sharing this show on your family WhatsApp group is advocacy. Okay, you see that? Because forwarding the blackorgandonation.org.uk link to your church committee is advocacy. Telling your imam or your pastor, I heard something on the radio and I think our community needs to talk about this. That is advocacy. You do not have to lead a session. You just have to start a thread. The third way, you become a visible presence. This one is harder. It requires more, okay? It requires you to do things like I do. But there are people in the community who have received transplants and have never said so publicly. They carry that knowledge quietly because they are not sure how it will land. Because they do not want the questions or the attention or the weight of being someone else's case study. I understand that completely. But I also know this. Visibility changes everything. When Black men and women who have received transplants stand up in their communities and say, I am here because of organ donation, it shifts something that statistics cannot shift. It makes the abstract real. It makes the possible personal. And it gives someone on a waiting list right now the most powerful thing they can receive. Evidence that the yes can come. Three ways I've just told you. Choose one. The simplest is having that talk one-on-one with somebody else. Start that this week. Think of how you can raise that conversation with somebody else. Don't linger. Don't think too much about it. Just go. I actually had a baptism of fire because the first time I spoke about my story, it was in Parliament. It was in front of a lot of ministers, people who were making decisions in the country, people who had the power to make things happen for kidney patients around the UK. And the way I was received made me think that I had something more to offer. If I can make the lawmakers of the country give me a standing ovation, then why not take it even further? And from then, events around the UK, online, Teams meetings, you name it. And I've even spoken on a plane. Everybody was captured on the plane. There was no way they could not listen because I was on the tannoy. I was also on the tannoy in Asda in Hume. And I tell you something, that was the greatest, you know, amazing feeling I've ever had. To be able to talk to people about my journey as a kidney patient and also do that in Pidgin English, do that in Yoruba, do that in Igbo, do that in Hausa, because I had people translating for me. So I played it over the tannoy for 1 hour. And I can't thank them enough in Asda for giving me that chance. So I hope I've been able to inspire you right now, because you can do it. It is your story. Nobody else has it. You can do it. Choose one of those three options, those three ways I've given you, and start this week. Wizkid and Tems wrote a song that feels like what community looks like when it's working. When something is growing between people without force. Just presence, warmth, and the natural pull of something real. That is what advocacy looks like when it is rooted in truth. Essence. Here's Essence by Wizkid featuring Tems, and I hope you enjoy. Don't go away.
You don't need no other body. Only you feel alive. like that, yes. Now I want you the same way. Back till the morning, my head wandered on from your loving. I just wanna get you beside me.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. Because of time, I want to be able to cover everything that I'm going to be talking about today, because I believe it's really important that people understand what it means to be an advocate for kidney disease and organ donation. So that was Whiskey and Thames with Essence. There is an essence to a community that has decided to take care of itself. That is what we're building here today. Now, I want to talk about something specific, about the difference between advocacy that converts and advocacy that alienates, because not all of it works. And understanding why some conversations close people down is as important as knowing how to open them. I've had conversations about organ donation that had gone, you know, beautifully. And I've had conversations that went nowhere. Worse than nowhere even. But that's okay. That left the other person more resistant than we started. You're gonna get that. It's, you know, that's the way people are. It's the world. We can't change people. We cannot change their opinions. I have spent a lot of time understanding the difference between these two groups of people. And also, the conversations that convert have three things in common. They start with the person, not the cause. The advocates can ask, "How are you? What's happening in your world? How is your family?" And they really mean it. Because one thing you have to understand is that our experience makes us a little bit more understanding of people's situations. So we always find out. We do not open with, "I need to talk to you about organ donation." No, if you've met me, you know. We start with small talk about, you know, different stuff. And then something leads us into that conversation. You don't see it coming. It just happens naturally. And that's because I have a passion. And that passion is increasing the number of people who are on the organ donor register. And usually, I open with genuine interest in the person in front of me. And the conversation about organ donation comes naturally from that place of connection. If you're a public speaker, you know that this is how it should be. If you're a business person, you know this is how it's done. You have to know somebody before you start telling them about something that you know is a difficult conversation. And because people do not change their minds because of arguments, I know that there's a different way of doing things. And the only way to get them is, the only way to change their minds is through building a relationship with them. So I tell a story, my story, rather than a case. And the moment I start presenting statistics and policy arguments, I see the barriers go up, their defenses go up, and they don't want to listen. They are no longer in the conversation. It's now a debate. I have been in rooms where only my story is enough, and the questions come. And I've been in plenty, not just in the UK, but in Nigeria, in America, in Canada, in Europe, you name it. I used to be a member of the Soroptimists. If you've not heard of them, type them into Google, they will come up. It's an amazing group of women doing amazing group, amazing things around the world, especially in Africa. And we traveled to Germany. And I tell you, when I told my story at dinner, there were a lot of questions from people. And it actually helped me to build relationships in that room. And those relationships I treasure till today. So when you say to people, let me tell you what happened to me or to someone I know, or, you know, tell you about how I managed to overcome my fear about, you know, organ donation, you see that they become a little bit more receptive because it's a story. Everybody likes a story. Everybody likes a story. Because a story is not an attack. It is an invitation. And it leaves no space for no. Because once they hear your story, they want to know more. And some people are moved to do something about it. The advocates who convert most consistently are not the ones who push the hardest. They are the ones who say, I'm not asking you to decide anything today. I just want you to know what I know. And I wanted to tell you because I care about you. And I do that all the time as well. And then I stop talking. The questions always come after that. When the decision comes, if it does come, it comes from inside. Not from pressure, not from guilt, because there is no need for that. Not even from a campaign. It comes from a quiet place where a person sits with something long enough for it to become theirs. Now, the conversations that alienate have three patterns. They lead with guilt. Something like, you know, somebody comes to you and says, people are dying and you could help. True. But making somebody feel guilty about something makes them close up. It makes them feel that they are already failing. And people who feel they are failing do not lean in. They step back. Another thing is dismissing the concern. When someone says, my faith says no, and the advocate says, that's not what your faith actually says. Even if they are right, they have lost the conversation because they have just told someone that what they believe is wrong. Nobody changes their mind in that moment. They acknowledge it first, and then there is concern, which is real, even if the conclusion is not. And then there's this other one of making it about yourself. The advocate says, but I had a transplant and it changed my mind. And then talks about themselves for 10 minutes. That has turned the conversation into a monologue. I'm guilty of that sometimes because in my desire to get people to understand where I'm coming from, I find that I'm the only one talking. And sometimes I tell myself in my head, Hilaria, you need to just calm down and let them breathe for 5 minutes. Walk away, talk to somebody else. If they want you, they'll come back to you. I leave my door open. Because my story is a door. It's not a destination. It's a door to lead people through and help them make that decision about becoming an organ donor, either living or deceased donation. So I open it and step back and invite the other person to walk through that door with me. Three things that convert three things that alienate. I've just told you about those. The difference is not what you know. It is how much you care about the person you are talking to. Fela Kuti understood something about how to reach people. He never spoke about community. He spoke with them. He sang with them. He brought them into the conversation until they could not imagine standing outside of it. If you've ever been to the shrine and you heard Fela sing, you know what I'm talking about. Lady is a song about seeing people as they are, about dignity, about the relationship between now, how we treat each other, and what we build together. Fela with Lady. Don't go away.
Say I be lady yo. If you call a woman African woman, no go agree. She go say I be lady yo.
Femi Kuti with Lady. I hope you enjoy that. Dignity in every conversation, including this one. Now, I want to bring this closer to home. I want to talk about what it means to be an advocate inside the specific communities most of us come from. African community, Caribbean community, Asian community, Chinese community, where the church is the institution, where the family is the authority, where the elder's word carries more weight than any campaign. The church. I want to talk about the church. I want to speak to the church members listening tonight, the deacons, the choir members, the Sunday school teachers, the women's fellowship coordinators. You have access to something that no NHS campaign, no government leaflet, no radio show has. You have trust. The congregation trusts you because you have been present with them in the hard moments, because you know their names, because you sat with their families in grief and celebrated with them in joy. That trust is the most powerful organ donation advocacy tool in the country. And it's entirely in your hands. I'm not asking you to preach a sermon on organ donation. I'm not asking you to have one conversation with different people. All I'm saying is ask people to think. Ask one person after service next Sunday what they think about organ donation. Have that conversation with someone you know, someone you love, someone whose family you know is dealing with kidney disease or is on a waiting list. Just one conversation with your full presence. That is everything. Let's move to the family. The family elder whose word ends arguments. I have talked about this in a previous episode. I think it's episode 3 or 4. And I want to come back to it with something specific. If you are an elder, a grandparent, a patriarch, a matriarch, the person the family looks up to, you have a responsibility that nobody else in this conversation has. Your position of leadership comes with something most advocates do not have: the ability to give permission. When you say at the family table, "I've been thinking about this, and I believe our family should be registered, and I believe we should have this conversation," the conversation happens. It may not be easy, but it happens because you open that door. That is passing it forward from a position of authority. And it's one of the most powerful things you can do with the trust your family has placed in you. Let's move to the workplace. Last week I talked to, we had Ali. Ali donated a kidney to his office colleague. We heard his recording last Sunday. Think about what that means. He saw someone at work who needed help and he asked himself whether he could give it. And the answer was yes. Most of us will never be in that exact position. But most of us work alongside people who are living with health conditions they do not talk about openly. Kidney disease, dialysis, the weight. The workplace is obviously not the obvious space for this conversation. But it is where we spend most of our waking hours, and the colleague who says, "I registered as an organ donor this week, have you?" is doing something, even if the answer is not yet, even if the conversation is short. As far as I know, you've planted a seed. So I've talked about three spaces: the church, the family, the workplace. You are already in all three. you already have relationships in all three. The advocacy does not require a new identity. It requires a decision to use the one you already have. Lawrence Oyo wrote something that I've been holding since I first heard it. It's called Alignment Chart. It's not a song you listen to passively. It is something that moves in you. And when I played it last Sunday at home, I was charged up. I was ready to step out there and tell people that this song is the song to listen to when you want to do something like this. It's about being aligned with what you believe, with what you are called to do, with the community you are part of. When you pass something forward, when you turn and bring someone else into the conversation, that is alignment. Before I play the song, I want to shout out to my friend and my brother, Gregory from Salford. He's very shy. I said I was going to say this tonight, and he said, no, don't say it. I said, I'm going to say it. So Gregory, this is for you. Listen to this song. I hope it ministers to you and it helps you to become a part of the community, which you're trying to do. So this is Alignment Chat, and I'll see you back here in a minute. Don't go away.
David, are you ready?
See me vibing to that. For those who are listening to me on radio, I was vibing here in the studio. That song is just amazing. When I listen to it, I am so spirit filled. I just feel that I can conquer anything, you know, today, this week. And I just feel that, I felt that, you know, playing it today would inspire you. And go look for it. It's called Alignment Chant, and it's by Lawrence Oyo. So that is what this community looks like, aligned, when it is passing through something, when it's passing something forward. Now, your actions and the resources that will help you do this work, I want to give them to you. There are three things this week. The first thing is to have a conversation. Not registering anybody, not asking people to visit a website, a conversation with one person this week. You already know who. The name came to you while I was talking about it. Trust that. Because when you start something with somebody, usually you can take it through. The second thing, to share one resource in your community, the blackorgandonation.org.uk website. Share that. And also the Kinect app. Kinect app. So that's KINNECT app.org. Pick one and share. Number three, register or check your registration. Organdonation.nhs.uk. It takes only 2 minutes to register or check. Okay, and tell someone you've done it. That conversation is still the most important step. So find also the WSHBME Kidney Network on Facebook. Join the community, and that is already, they are already doing the work every day. So join and have that conversation. And as you know, we are in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant, who have actually sponsored us to bring this show to you. So you have everything you need to start. One conversation helps to close that gap. Don't forget, we have about 7,000 people on the transplant list waiting for a transplant. I want to close tonight with something that has been on my mind all week. There is a concept in many African traditions called Sankofa. It's a Ghanaian word, and it is represented by a bird that flies forward while looking backward. Not because it is confused about which direction it's going, but because it understands that you cannot move forward well without knowing what you're carrying with you. I think about Sankofa when I think about what this show is doing. We've been looking back at what our communities have believed about organ donation. The myth, the fears, the silences, the faith traditions that were applied without enough thought, the family conversations that never happened. And not to dwell there, but because you cannot move forward from a place you do not understand. And now, several weeks in, I think we understand it better, I hope. We understand where the resistance comes from. We understand what the faith actually says. We understand what the weight costs. We have heard the donors speak in their own voices. We are flying forward with our eyes open to what we are carrying. The community that is building around the show, the people who share it, the people who come back every Sunday, who have conversations during the week and report back, that community is Sankofa in action. Flying forward, carrying the wisdom of what we have learned, building something our children will inherit. That is passing it forward. That is what we're doing by being here. I want to say thank you. Second chances are not given, they are received. And they come with a responsibility to pass forward what was given to you. That is what the show is every week. Have the conversation this week. Register at organdonation.nhs.uk. Visit blackorgandonation.org.uk. Download Kinect at kinectapp.org, and you will be happy that you did. I'm Hilaria Subu. This is Second Chances, and I will see you next Sunday. Here is our last song, Last by Burna Boy, and I hope you enjoy. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Lucas, last. Now everybody go to our breakfast.
Shayo.
Man.
Shayo.
Man.
You go power for the result, oh. Nothing to discuss, oh. Cause I did win by default. I'm without any doubt, oh. Mama me happy at all, though. I know go feed the girl. I know go feed the girl yourself, though. I'm a mind as you be talk, oh. I put my life into my job, and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love, oh. I know. one Toyota Corolla. My feelings been they swing like Django Loba. Feelings been they swing like Django Loba. Now you crash your Ferrari for Lucky Bona. Now some money remain with that pain all over. My feelings today swing like Django Loba. Feelings today swing like Timbani get you, get you. I'm a white dog in Fenisu. Why you say I did nothing for you? And if I do anything you want me to do, Timbani get you, get you. I'm a white dog in Fenisu. Why you say I did nothing for you? And if I do anything you want me to do, maybe another time, maybe another life.